Good. Oh god. No, you're fine. I'm just waiting for good. Don't worry, we'll have our signals down. Oh, sorry, good morning. You want to work today? Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's great to have you all here as we celebrate this beautiful day of worship, as we celebrate Trinity Sunday this Sunday. A few announcements before we get started. Our lunch bunch will be at Grinders today following worship. Sweep the Streets last night was canceled, but if you can please... Grinders is closed. Okay. You have an alternative, Linda? Park Street Pizza, so if you want to join them for lunch bunch, you're welcome to join them there. Sweep the Streets did not happen last night because of the weather, but if you can join us tonight, you're welcome to join us. The more hands we have on deck, the quicker it gets done. Please don't forget the sign-up sheet for Strawberry Festival is available. Strawberry Festival is coming right around the corner on Saturday, June 9th, so if you have the opportunity to help us with that, we'd greatly appreciate that. The next Cares and Prayers meeting will meet on Thursday, June 7th, not a Tuesday. We changed it to a Thursday this month because the Women's Fellowship is going on a trip that Tuesday, and we want to give all the women the opportunity to go on that if they so desire. And since summer is right around the corner, please don't forget Brown Bag and Big Ideas is coming, and that will be on Monday, June 11th, for the rest of the summer from noon to 1:15. And that will be at the upper pavilion at Tusky Park, not the lower pavilion, so that way it's more accessible to all people. Please don't forget, at June 10th at Dover, there will be a free will brunch for our Texas mission trip, and a commissioning service will follow. So after we finish worship up there, we're all invited to a free brunch at Dover. Donate whatever you can as we continue to support our Texas mission trip, which is just around the corner. We have quite a few people from our own congregation going. I know Doug and McKenna are going. A great opportunity to support them. And please note, I will be out of office from the afternoon of Wednesday, May 30th to June 6th. Emily will be standing up in her cousin's wedding that weekend, and we're going back to Pennsylvania to see some friends and family. So if you have any pastoral care concerns, please contact one of our elders, and they can get in touch with me, or we can get you in touch with a local pastor at that time. While I'm gone, Pastor Bill Rinderneck will be providing pulpit supply next week, and if you see him, be sure to wish him a happy early anniversary. He'll be celebrating his 40th ordination anniversary in a couple weeks, so if you could give him a big thank you from us and all the wonderful things he's done for our community. At this time, I ask any of you if you have any other announcements. All right, before we greet one another, we're going to go through our birthdays and anniversaries for May. That's okay with... Or Angie, do you want to sing first? I'm not sure if you're... Okay. I'll go through the birthdays and anniversaries, and I guess we can just kind of sing and...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're fine. I guess we can pay you by the mile today, so. You're good. Oh, I'm sorry, Brock. We forgot about you, buddy, but you are definitely in our hearts and minds. We'll give you an extra slice of cake today. How about that? And we also celebrate with our graduates this month, too. Erica celebrated her college graduation with her friend Haley and a few other people who are moving on to the next stages in their lives. So our May anniversaries are Tim and Linda Northrup, Steve and Jackie Pasquinelli, Joe and Cheryl Bahari, and Ben and Emily Lippert. Our May birthdays are Kathy Cummings, Charlotte Menapace, Linda Bennington, Brandon Castor, Erica Hanton Stafford, Brock Stafford, Angie Miller, who celebrates her birthday today. Happy birthday, Angie. And then Tasia Murray. At this time, let us join together in celebrating these birthdays by singing the birthday hymn. Take a moment to rise and greet one another.
Morning, Paige. Morning, Letitia. Morning, Angie.
You may return to your seat and you may remain standing as we join together in our watchword of the week. And our watchword this week comes from the 6th chapter of Isaiah, verse 3. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Amen. You may be seated.
Can you please stand for the call to worship? The voice of the Lord is powerful.
The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
May the Lord give strength to his people.
May the Lord bless his people with peace.
Please remain standing as we sing together, "To God Be the Glory."
And join with me in the Liturgy for Trinity that can be found on page 100 in your hymnal.
Oh,
Almighty.
The whole earth is full of your glory.
You are worthy to receive glory, honor, power. You created all things, and by your will you brought them forth.
To you, the one who sits on the throne, who is the Lamb, be praise and honor, glory and might, forever and ever.
Triune God, we acknowledge the profound mystery of your being, beyond your comprehension, three in one, one in three.
Yet what we see never know.
You offer the gracious gift of eternal life.
Eternal life is to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
As we bow before you, Holy God, we confess your unholiness, our unholiness, and receive your word of forgiveness. You may be seated. Gracious God, we confess our sin, which separates us from you.
We know how God's people who belong to you should live, but we fail to live that way. We have done evil, and have failed to do good. We have lived for self rather than for you, for our neighbor. Thus our lives are diminished, our goodness is stifled, and your image in us is tarnished. Forgive us, good Lord, through Jesus Christ. By your Spirit, guide us to live as people who know and love you. Amen.
The Lord who saves you says, I am God, I am the God who forgives your sin. I do this because of who I am. I will not hold your sins against you. Please rise. The Lord is one.
Let us love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength.
We know God as Father, who seeks loving relationships with all whom he has created.
Like a mother who has nurtured us all our days and has been near in time of trouble.
Praise the Lord, and do not forget how kind God is,
who forgives our sins and redeems us from his grave,
who blesses us with a steadfast love and tender mercy,
who fills our lives with good things, so that our youth is renewed like an eagle's.
Jesus Christ, the Word who becomes a human, who became a human being and lived among us, full of grace and truth.
No one has ever seen God, the only Son, who is one with God, and is at the Father's side. He has made God known.
God created the whole universe through him and for him. Christ existed before all things, and in union with him, all things have their proper place.
Jesus was humble and walked the path of obedience all the way to death, even death on the cross.
For this reason, God raised him to the highest place above and gave him the name that is greater than any other name. And so,
in honor of the name of Jesus, all beings in heaven, on earth, and in the world below will fall on their knees and will openly proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God.
God as the Holy Spirit who reveals the truth about God.
The world cannot receive the Spirit because it cannot see or know him. But we know him because the Spirit remains with us and is in us.
God's Spirit joins with our spirit to declare that we are God's children.
The Holy Spirit is the helper who stays with us.
Because we are God's children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who cries out, Father, my Father.
Like a mighty wind, like a blazing fire, the Holy Spirit comes upon us and fills us with power, making us witnesses for Christ to the neighborhood, to the nations, and to the ends of the earth.
To know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge and so be filled with all the fullness of God.
It is through Christ that all of us are able to come in one spirit into the presence of the Father.
Please rise. God's power within us is able to do far more than we ever dare to ask or imagine. To God be the glory in the church through Jesus Christ forever and ever.
Amen.
You may be seated. As we turn our attention to our tithes, offerings, and gifts, we spent a lot of time in our Bible study this morning talking about how there can be a lot of negativity in the world, people talking about all the bad things and all the violence. But it's important that we as Christians reverse the cycle and remind people of the positive things, of all the beautiful things that God does in our world every single day that we take for granted. And let us think about that as we offer our gifts to God.
Please rise. Together. Good and gracious God,
we feel your presence in our lives as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each of those persons reach to us with love and compassion. Help us to give compassionately as we faithfully fulfill many important roles in our lives. Neighbor, friend, parent, child, employee, student, and most importantly, child of God. Amen.
You may be seated. Let us now turn our hearts and minds to a time of prayer and reflection. We have a lot of people to be prayerful for and a lot of people who are counting many blessings in their lives. First of all, we remember Luann Gold, who passed away this week. She was a friend of a member of our congregation. We also remember the Koenigs, Sue Koenig. Pastor Sue, she had eye surgery coming on Tuesday. And then Mike Koenig, he had knee surgery this past week, and it sounds like he is doing well, and he is home and already starting the rehabilitation process. We continue to uplift Ted Canfield in prayer. Ted is hospitalized at Union Hospital currently, dealing with some health issues, and early next week he is looking forward to being released to a nursing care for rehabilitation. We continue to uplift Rick Swaldo, who continues to get treatment with his lymphoma and continues to get strength from his family and support from all people. We give thanks for Janie Martin, who was released from the hospital this past week and continues to look for strength and comfort. I ask for prayers for one of our pastors out in the Western District. Herman Weidenlich and his wife Susan lost their son David to cancer. He was 46 years old, and we ask continued prayers of comfort for them. Herman and Susan had recently been hospitalized in the past 6 months, so that family has been going through a lot of issues, but they have kept the faith and are just very strong. Continued prayers for Janet Jenkins as she continues to deal with some of her health issues. We continue to pray for Bill Rinderneck, who will be celebrating his 40th anniversary in ministry coming up, and we have the privilege of having him lead us in worship next week. And I also want to give thanks for Memorial Day. It's a time to remember the soldiers in our homeland and far away who make the sacrifices, and some have made the ultimate sacrifices for us. And we show great appreciation for them. And we remember the verse from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 13. No greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. And we remember that when we think about all the people who sacrificed for us and make sure that we have a safe home and a safe world that we can live in. And we give thanks to them. So let us take a moment in silence and invite God into this time of prayer. Good and gracious God, on this Trinity Sunday, we celebrate that you are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you transform us in many different ways and in many different styles, and we give thanks because your compassion is equal as your presence, and we feel it every single day. Gracious God, there are a lot of people that we are thinking about in our hearts and minds who are sick, afflicted, grieving. We think most importantly about the family of Luann Gold, Sue and Mike Koenig, who are either had surgery or awaiting surgery. For the Spees family, for Jenny Spees family, who had a tree come down on their house this past week. And we ask that you provide them with support
and comfort. And we give thanks that everybody was safe and that you helped them continue to rebuild and feel comfortable in the place that they have called home. For Ted Canfield, as he continues to get treatment in the hospital, and we ask that you help guide him in his next steps as he gets ready to go to rehabilitation. And for Rick continuing his treatment. And for Janie coming home, and for the Weinlich family and Janet, we realize there are so many people on our hearts and minds, and you, God, are present with each and every one of us. Help us to provide the comfort that we can, but also the trust that you, God, will lead every heart and soul exactly where they need to be. And on this Memorial Day, we remember our soldiers, our police officers, people who sacrificed to make sure that we can be safe. And we give thanks to you because we realize that some of them have made the ultimate sacrifice. They have laid down their life for us. They have followed the path of Jesus in giving their life for peace. And help us all to be peacemakers, because none of us ever want to have to do that. But we will do it when called upon to lay down our life for one another as you taught us to do. And we give you thanks for the compassion and the gift of community that help us to serve one another and be the answers and the solution to the violence in this world, because violence is not the answer, but God is. In your name we pray. Amen.
Okay. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the sailors flew to me with live coal in his hand, which he had taken with from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, "Be lips, I touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin anointed." For then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Here am I. Send me."
Thank you, Paige. You remind us of God's call to ministry that Isaiah text is used in all of our ordination liturgies. When we say, "Here I am, God, send me," we quote the prophet Isaiah. Our next reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Nicodemus visits Jesus. "Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who comes from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God.' Jesus answered him, 'Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can anyone be born after growing old? Can one enter a womb a second time into a mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can these things be?' Jesus answered him, 'Are you a teacher of Israel, and you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Let us give thanks to God for his holy word, and may it reach your heart, your mind, and your actions. Thanks be to God. At this time, I invite our children to come forward for our children's moment and bring their toys if they got. Good morning, everybody. How we doing? Everybody wide awake today? So I brought a toy too myself to help out with our children's moment today. Anybody tell me who that is? Jesus. We're going to talk about Jesus because today is a special day in the church. It's Trinity Sunday. So we talk about Jesus who does three different things for us. Can anybody guess what they are? Nick, you going to help us? What about Paige? That's okay. Brandon, you want to take a guess? What does Jesus do for us? He loves us. He loves us. He takes care of us. And so we have a name that we give those roles. See, Jesus takes three different roles for us that are very important. He's our Father. He's the Son of God. And he's the Holy Spirit, always looking over for us. So he's one person, but he takes three different roles. So I want you guys to bring your toys up forward, and we can talk about how other things do that. So let's see. We have canned goods. I don't know what these are. Cola, little cola soda cans. We got a horse, and we have an alien and a superhero. Is that what we're going with? Okay. Okay. I'll have to keep my eye out for this one. So, Jesus has three different roles, but we often have many different roles because all of God's creation has different roles. So what are some different things that a horse would be called to do? Paige? What was that? Plow fields. What else can a horse do? People can ride them. They can ride them for fun, right? They can go apart. What else can horses do? They can, we talked about plowing fields. They can sit around in a field and eat. You can use their wool. I won't say you can use their wool, but you can pet them. You can ride them. You can do a lot of different things with horses. And just because a horse does a different thing, does that mean a horse changes who it is? Nope. That means a horse does a lot of different tasks. So just like a soda, what are some different reasons we would need soda in our life? Let's start with number one. Maybe the pastor's sermon is a little boring and it's a little early in the morning. We might need a little caffeine. Yeah. Paige, how about you? It gives us energy. So if we ever have moments where our parents are just tired and sleepy on the couch, if we know that they need to be active and present in our life, we take a nice little Coca-Cola out of the fridge and we make sure that they too can be active and present. And what else does soda do? What do people do? Let's say if you're at a friend's house and you get done with a baseball game like Nick does. It can be a way to get people together, right? You can say, oh, let's all get together after the game and let's enjoy a soda together. So soda can do all those different roles. Just like a superhero. Because Captain America, what does Captain America do? What's his number one job as a superhero? Tyler? To fight people, to save people. Is that the only thing Captain America does, though? He's probably got to tell people to be good people, to be a good role model. So that way he doesn't have that many people to fight. So
so he doesn't have to take out aliens like this guy over here. I'm not sure if he's a good guy or a bad guy. He's kind of praying, but we'll give him the benefit of a doubt, I guess, with that. And what else does Captain America have to do when he's not a superhero? He's what, Brandon? He's got to fly and do things like that. Paige, what were you going to say? Take care of people? Guess what? He's just got to be a normal, regular person. And guess what? A normal, regular person, how many different tasks do they have? How many different things do you have to do during a day? You have to be what? You have to be a student, right? You got to be an athlete if you're playing a sport. You got to be a musician if you're singing. And do any of those different things, do they change who you are? Nope, but you're the exact same person when you do those things. And when Jesus is God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit, he's performing different roles for us, but he's the same person in all those roles, loving us equally in all those times. So I want you to remember that. When you're a student, whether you're doing sports, whether you're singing, you're doing different roles, but you can serve God in each one of those things, okay? So let's take a moment to pray with one another. Let me return your toys. We've got the horse, soda. Captain America. And then let's get in our circle. Let's hold hands. Will you guys pray with us? Do you want to hold hands? There we go, Brandon Page. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for the kids in this room today, for the energy and the love and the compassion that they bring. We are so grateful for that. Help to protect them, whether they're students, whether they're playing with their neighbors or friends, or whether they're being good sons and daughters at home. Help them to know that they are loved wherever they go and whatever they do, and that they can serve God doing anything, because you are everywhere. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you all very much. Grab a snack before you go. And you may remain seated as we join together to sing our song of praise.
turn our hearts to prayer, I want to give thanks to our choir for giving us a great way to start this service and a great way to start Trinity Sunday is with Father, I Adore You, because Trinity Sunday is a day that's very theological heavy where it can get stuck in a lot of mud. But it's important to remember that it's a simple song like that reminds us that God is present in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So let's take a moment in prayer as we invite God into this time of message. Gracious God, we ask that you open up our hearts, our minds, and our ears to your word today, and that you inspire us to go out into this world and be your hands and feet every chance we can, with small acts of kindness everywhere we go. In your name we go. So Trinity Sunday, it's a good Sunday for all of us to remember that none of us have all the answers about God. None of us do. See, Nicodemus was a wise and very rational man. And Nicodemus was a Pharisee, so he knew that he had the prestige and the power that people sought in his day. But even Nicodemus did not have the answers about God. And when Jesus responds to Nicodemus, he says, "Truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." And when Nicodemus is perplexed about this, Jesus scolds him. And he tells him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things?" Now the easy thing to do when we read this text, when we spend time with it, is to kind of point our finger at Nicodemus. And say, how dumb are you for not having all the answers in your life? However, we should uplift Nicodemus, because Nicodemus had courage. He had the courage to say, I don't know. He had the courage to ask questions. And you talk to any elementary school teacher, some of the smartest kids in their classrooms are the ones whose hands are relentlessly up and down, asking questions, trying to figure things out, trying to process things. Because I don't know is not acceptable to them. They have to work through it. And sometimes we as adults, we're scared to say that. Because we're supposed to be the ones with all the answers. The one that people come to for the wisdom and advice. But sometimes we just need to say, I don't know. Can somebody help me with this? And so one of the questions we wrestle with today, one of the things we don't know about, is who was this Jesus person to everybody? And one of the things I learned about in seminary is I just assumed that from the beginning of the time that Jesus was on this earth, to the time he left it, to the 21st century today, that he was viewed in those three dimensions that we view Jesus now as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But it turns out, as I learned more about God, as I studied about God, that this really wasn't the case. And that actually the first few centuries after Jesus left the world, Christianity spent a great deal of time wrestling with who Jesus was and what his ministry was to this world. Because what people struggled with, was Jesus completely God? Was he part God? Was he just a really good leader? Or was he something different? Was he something mysterious? And in fact, if you open up your Bibles, you will not find the word Trinity anywhere in your Bible, in the Old Testament or the New Testament. And even more so, even the Gospels disagree on some of the specifics of when Jesus came into the world. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all begin with the virgin birth. But John, the Gospel of John, describes Jesus as the Logos, the reason that existed before time. And I would argue a lot of people say Genesis has two creation stories. I would say Scripture has three if you count the first chapter of John. So even the Gospels disagreed about who was this man? What did he do for this world? Was he just another prophet? Or was he a great teacher? Or was he fully God and fully human? And so during their first few centuries, a lot of this fighting continued. And Christians faced massive persecution. Until the Holy Roman Emperor Constantine converted to Christianity. And he passed something called the Edict of Milan, which is a turning point in Christian history because that made Christianity a legal religion, something that you could practice openly and publicly. And so what Constantine did is he saw all the arguing about Jesus happening about Christians. And he looked at this, and as any leader would, he saw that a house divided against itself cannot stand. So he called a council, and that council was called Nicaea, and he had all the people gather there. And they spent hours and days arguing about who Jesus was. And that's where the concept of the Holy Trinity really became cemented, this idea that God was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three things in one person. And if you recite the Nicene Creed today, you are reciting 1,700 years of Christian history. So imagine that. You're reciting the same creed that Christians said in the 300s, the 400s, before the American Revolutionary War, before America was even a place, and you get the privilege of sharing in that. And what I share with you is not to knock the view of the Trinity, but what I want you to realize is that we didn't always act like we had Jesus figured out, like we knew exactly who he was and what he was. And that's something we really struggle with, because we're not denouncing the Trinity, but it's to remind people that at no point do we ever have Jesus fully figured out, that he could surprise us, and that sometimes we got to respect the mystery of God, because God surprises us in all times, in all places. And that's why I brought this dashboard Jesus that my wife gave me for Christmas. And it made me think a lot about this, because when I was writing my sermon, this guy was sitting next to me on our ottoman next to me. And I just thought about Jesus being comfortably and safe in this little box, and how sometimes when we look at God in that Trinitarian view, we like to put Jesus in that little box and say he is only the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we put him in this little place, and we put him right on our shelf. But the challenge that people like Nicodemus learned is, what does Jesus think about those boxes that we put him in? Yeah, he's not a big fan of boxes, so Jesus likes to break free from those boxes, and he likes to remind people that Jesus will be who Jesus will be, and that if you really want Jesus to be a presence in your life, you got to take him out of that box, and you got to put him in your heart, and you got to carry that with you in the world. And this is a dashboard Jesus, so he should be with me in all my travels. He should be with me in my car, because that's what we need to remember, is that Jesus has the power to transform us. And sometimes we don't always understand it, but understanding is not the reason why Jesus can do it. Jesus can do it because Jesus reaches out to every single one of us in a unique way. And if we let him escape that box, take him away from our shelf, he can do beautiful things for us. And that's why we can't put Jesus in a little box. And it's important for us as Moravians, because we as Moravians don't necessarily believe our faith journey with God is one instrumental come-to-Jesus moment. That Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, where God strikes us down and invites us into our heart. But we see our journey with God as more of a lifelong journey, a gradual progression, as God holds our hand from birth all the way to death. So in the context of being born again, we may not be like traditional Baptists or Pentecostals, but we do believe in being born again. And when we're born again, maybe as Moravians, that means taking Jesus outside of that box and allowing Jesus to be where Jesus wants to be. And that's all over this place. And this means following in the footsteps of Christ. We'll see if dashboard Jesus is struggling there. But it means following in the footsteps of Christ. And this is not just 1 hour a day a week. Because if we do that, that's putting him back in that box. But 24/7. Because being born again is realizing that there is no circumstance that cannot be overcome. There is no social challenge that cannot be redeemed by following in the footsteps of Jesus. And that's what allows us to look with positivity and hope in our lives. Because when we turn on the news, we can see that negativity. And that's why we got to walk that harder path and say that we believe. We believe in hope, we believe in faith, and we believe in love. And that no matter what, those things will carry us through. And the challenge for us that we have to think about is, do we keep Jesus in that nicely defined box that we can pull out of the back of the closet whenever we want to, whenever it's convenient to us? Or do we allow Christ to transform our hearts and be the driving force in our lives, to be the one driving the car? Because like Nicodemus, it can truly be scary to let God that deeply into our hearts, to feel that vulnerable with God. Because by doing so, we have to admit that we don't know everything. That "I don't know" has to become a common phrase in our vocabulary. And we just have to have trust and faith that God will provide us the answers in God's time. And we have to admit that when it comes to being disciples of Christ, we are all amateurs. And I think Jesus made that very clear in that message when he was telling Nicodemus, "Aren't you supposed to be a teacher of Israel?" And I think what Jesus was saying in 21st century terms, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a mechanic, a stay-at-home mom, a hairdresser, we're all amateurs. We're all in this together. And we can all share the word of God. But yet we have to remember, brothers and sisters, when we humble our hearts and truly let God into our lives, we can truly accomplish anything for the kingdom of God, because we will have Jesus beside us, turning our weaknesses that we have into his strength. And God does that time and time throughout the Bible. And we can look at the gigantic problems of this world, huge problems, and we can look those problems straight in the eyes, fearlessly, and say, "You may be big, you may be huge, gigantic problems, but the love of God shared in this world is always going to be bigger. The love of God shared in this world is always going to be stronger. And the love of God shared in this world will always win, because God's love always does win." And let us give thanks for that. Amen. Let us pray. God, we come before you with so many questions on our hearts and minds. And like Nicodemus, we thank you for taking the time to engage us in conversation. And we ask you, as we go about our weeks, to just trust in you and with you, and to have faith, and to have the courage to say, "I don't know," and to trust that you will provide the answers exactly when we need them. Because we know that our faith journey is not about getting answers or solutions, but it's about building a relationship with God and each other. And help us to value and cherish those relationships. In everything we say, everything we do, and everything we pray, in your name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together in song. please don't forget to join us in Fellowship Hall as we celebrate Birthday and Anniversary Sunday. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.